The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay, and we're back. It is time for episode 5 of The Royal, the post-blackout fallout.
Dum, dum, dum.
And holy crap, things happened in this episode. Max Brown did not lie to us. He did not lie.
Just start from the beginning.
All right, so we're just going to go with the biggest thing of all. Basically, it opens with Robbie distributing aid to the people of London after the blackout. Power has been partially restored, but it hasn't been completely restored. Parts of South London are still without power, so there's still problems down there with rioting and looting and everything like that. So, which we'll get to. So Robbie's out amongst the people, giving out water, giving out aid, and then he's on the news going, well, what's Parliament doing? They're not doing anything. You know, I'm here helping. Where are they, basically? Which is the exact opposite of what the king really should be saying and doing. The king should not have an opinion. It's sort of be, you know, silent. Be seen, not heard for the British royal family because they are figureheads, so this is the exact opposite of what they should be doing. And so Robbie then comes back to the palace and he talks to Willow and he's like, yeah, so I'm going to be doing a thing and I kind of want you to be there when I do the thing. And so she's like, yeah, sure, I'll be there. Of course. And then he proceeds to dissolve Parliament.
And she's like, what?
And the general reaction of everybody is, holy shit.
What did he just do? He do what?
Okay, so basically the way that they set this up and they explain this, and this is an actual thing, so it's totally based in their constitution, is that if Parliament fails in their duty, or if Parliament is so corrupt, I forget exactly what the wording is, but basically the king has 3 rights. He can be consulted, he can encourage, and he can warn. And if Parliament screws up so bad, he can then invoke a 4th right, which is to dissolve Parliament until such time and rule. Okay, that's very key. The king can rule until such time as a new Parliament can be founded and put in place, or elected in this case and put in place. So what Robbie does is he dissolves the Parliament, which gives him complete control with the Constitution, sort of binding him there and everything, but he still takes over the controlling interest, basically, of the government. So he's no longer reigning, he's a ruling monarch.
Which is a huge change.
Which is a huge deal, and basically the way that they sum it up is Helen is sitting there, and she's talking to her assistant, and she goes, my son just became the most powerful world leader today.
Yep, that was a thing.
That happened. So the general reaction is everybody freaks out because it's like, oh my god, he just dissolved Parliament. What are we going to do? So meanwhile, while all this is going on, Liam is out and about again. He goes down to South London to visit Catherine's pub, which has been vandalized and destroyed by the looters. And he's looking for everybody. He claims he's there to check on Catherine's dad. But as we quickly learn, Catherine is back from the United States. And she's like, I heard what was going on. My dad is missing. We don't know where he is. And so I came back directly. And so basically Liam's like, well, we're going to help you find him. You know, we're going to look for him. I'll get Mr. Hill on it and we'll see what we can come up with for you.
Right.
And then the sister chases Liam down and she's like, yeah, you have to marry my sister. Don't give up on her. You have to marry my sister. All right. So we move forward a little bit with this where Liam goes back to Mr. Hill and Mr. Hill comes back to him and goes, you know, well, there are 3 unidentified bodies at the morgue. So it's like, uh-oh.
Oh, no. Her father's dead. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. And the thing is they're like, and one of them matches the general description.
It's like, oh, crap.
Okay. You're like, oh, no, please don't kill the dad. Please don't. So Liam and Catherine make a not so romantic trip to the morgue and to identify the body. And thankfully, it is not Catherine's father. So he's good to go there. They head back to the pub. And well, hey, look, dad's there looking for her. He gets ultra aggressive with Liam because he's basically like, you know, you guys broke her heart. You drove her away. This is all your fault. And Catherine's like, no, he's here. He's been here the whole time. He's been trying to help. He's just trying to help. And Liam's like, yeah, I'm here to help, but I'm going to go.
Right. And the sister once again makes it, no, don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up on my sister.
I'm going to go back one second to the morgue scene.
Okay.
Her general reaction at first was like, oh, no. Because she started bawling. And I was like, oh, no, she's dead. He's dead. It's like, oh, no. Oh, no. And it's like, then they panned to Liam. It's like, no, that's not her father. It's like, oh, good. Oh, good. He's not dead. But it was like, her first reaction was like, did he die? Did he actually die? Oh crap, we're gonna have a funeral. Oh god. Anyway. Continue.
Yes, so, yay, luckily he's not dead, so that's all good. Meanwhile, we cut back to the palace because, you know, family bonding time continues, this time with Eleanor, Jasper, and Earl, who is Jasper's father. Basically, Earl is spending a lot of quality time with Eleanor, teaching her such good, useful life tips as how to pick a lock.
Yeah, the one in the closing scenes is she learns how to pick a lock from a trunk that she wanted to give Jasper to put his stuff in. And throughout the episode, he is basically telling tales of the life of Jasper.
Yeah, they initially, basically, what they do is they go and find him, and he's trying to lift these two candlesticks from the palace, and Jasper's like, put them back, both of them.
Both of them, put the other one back. Yeah.
And so Eleanor's like, you must be Jasper's father, it's so nice to meet you. She's like, why don't we all have tea? And Jasper's like, no! And the dad goes, that'd be great. And she's like, wonderful. Like, Jasper wants to be anywhere but there right now. And so they all sit down for tea, and they swap life stories, and the dad talks about Jasper when he was little, so we get a little bit more backstory there. And it's really tense with Jasper, because again, totally doesn't want to be there, and so the dad continues to snuggle up, kind of to Eleanor, you know, and teach her certain things.
The art of the con.
The art of the con, how to pick locks, and, you know, sort of aids her in her frustration, because she wants to continue helping people, because she really liked what she did in the blackout, and so she's trying to set up her own charity. Well, it takes forever to do that, because there it's all this red tape and whatnot, and she's just like, God, this is taking forever, and she's getting all these letters, and she's like, I want to help people now. And so she uses the life lessons that Jasper's father has taught her, and she steals the two candlesticks that he was trying to take, and drops them off at this little old lady's house who desperately needed money for her cats to have surgery. And Eleanor leaves it, you know, for the lady to find after doing Ding Dong Ditch for the first time ever in her life, because it goes back to the tea where Jasper would play Ding Dong Ditch, and then if, you know, nobody answered, they would rob the house. So Eleanor does the same thing, except she doesn't rob the house. She leaves candlesticks, and so she's able to continue her good works that way.
One little comment from it. Like, Eleanor gets a bunch of the usual sayings wrong.
Yes.
Like, she mentioned red tape. She said red flags, I believe. And Jasper's like, red tape. And she's just so confused. Like, okay. I love him trying to correct her every time.
She does that consistently, I think, throughout this episode, and I think in some of the previous ones too.
Yeah.
Where she's trying to use the really common euphemisms and phrases, and she gets them wrong every time, and Jasper's like, no, that's not how that works.
No.
Good try, babe.
She's trying to relate. You know, she's a princess. She don't know these things.
She's trying.
She is trying to be more American?
I don't know if she's trying to be more American. I think she is trying to be more normal in what she feels normal is.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Normal.
Because obviously, you know, she feels in a lot of ways she's not normal just from the ways that she grew up. Mm-hmm. So up next, we cut back to Robbie. Oh, Robbie. So, if you remember in one of the earlier episodes, Robbie kind of throws this potential prime minister guy in front of his mother as a way to distract his mother. So, of course, Helena picks back up with the dude, they're sleeping together, and it was all a setup by Robbie to, one, distract his mother, but two, basically get dirt on this man so he can manipulate him. And that's exactly what happens here, is Robbie tries to manipulate the prime minister based on the parliament disillusion, where he's like, you know, well, when I bring Parliament back, I really want you to be my PM, but here's the thing, I know you were banging my mom. And Robbie threatens to expose him and tries to blackmail him into doing what he wants. Well, the potential PM guy is like, yeah, no, not gonna do that. So he gets on TV and he admits to having an affair. He doesn't say who it was with, but he basically steps down from his position in government because of it. To which Helena and Robbie are both somewhat disgusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That did not go as planned for either one of them. Mainly for the king.
He kind of wasn't expecting him to do that.
No, but the queen got a lot of pleasure out of it.
Well, the queen was kind of like, God, whatever happened to just lying with dignity?
Right.
When did that get lost?
What happened to that?
But Robbie continues to sort of manage his mother a little bit in this episode, and he kind of keeps her off to one side. He keeps her distracted with wedding stuff and throws other potential suitors in her way as a way to keep her out of his way.
Occupied, so out of his way, yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing what he needs to do, because basically she's like, well, you know, you dissolved Parliament, or she's like, your father used to come to me and talk to me about almost everything, and you didn't. You dissolved Parliament. him up and you didn't even bring it up. And he's like, she's like, you don't need me anymore. He's like, of course I need you. I just don't need you for this. So Robbie's keeping his mother good and distracted.
Pretty much, yeah.
And speaking of distractions, Willow's competition is back in the picture.
Oh, yes, she is.
So she arrives back at the palace. She sneaks back in, trying to get time with the king, because essentially Robbie was supposed to have a second date with her, and because of the blackout crisis, it gets postponed. So initially she calls Robbie and tries to chat him up, and he's like, yeah, no thanks, F off, because Willow's back in play. And so, you know, she shows up at the palace, and she's like, hey, so we should totally be friends, to Willow, and you know, you can hook me up with Time of the King, right? And she's just like, yeah, no, he's not interested, national crisis and everything.
And Willow was standing there going, you know, well, I'm his number one I'm his number one social media person, because she was trying to say she's on the list now,
right,
without saying she's the number one candidate on the list, and she's like, what, number two now? So yeah it's like, I'm the number one social media person, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, basically the competition chick is like, yeah, so when I become queen, I'll make you my lady-in-waiting. And Will is like, awkward.
Awkward.
So we fast forward a little bit in this episode, and the chick is relentless. She wants Robbie. She wants to be queen. And so she sneaks her phone, or a phone with naked pictures of her on it, into the palace, gets it to Robbie, and then she calls Robbie and she's talking him up, and she's trying to, you know, basically offer to, you know, bang / give him a blowjob as an incentive for him to see her, because she thinks that's what's going to get him. And Robbie's like, and at this point, Willow is giving a press conference on TV. And so Robbie's sitting there on the phone with the one chick watching Willow on TV. And he's like, yeah, so, about that date, that should have been canceled. I'm not interested anymore. Thanks, but no thanks. Peace out. And hangs up on her.
Reveals she's very friendly with security.
She's very friendly with security. They like her, apparently.
She may have done some favors to, you know. Anyway.
Probably. But then it's also later in the episode, Cassandra, I should stop calling her competitor chick. Her name is Cassandra. Is sitting there watching the press conference with Willow, and Willow basically saying how much she admired the king and how much she really respected him, and basically says she loves him without saying she loves him, and Cassandra realizes what's going on.
Yep.
And she's like, crap. So, and then things between Willow and Robbie took a step, a major step. Holy crap. So they kiss, and then Robbie asks her to marry him. What? He's getting engaged?
Is he?
Maybe.
Because that was a cliffhanger.
We don't hear her answer, but basically he's like, I don't know why I ever put you on a list. I was stupid to do it. That's the old way of doing things. You know, I should have just, like, dated you from the start. I can't live my life without you. Yada, yada, yada. Will you be my wife?
So what will her answer be?
I guess we're going to find out. But before we find that out, we cut to Cyrus. Oh, Cyrus. So we basically cut to him and Liam arguing about Robbie and how Cyrus refuses to let it go. And Liam's like, no, it's done. I made a mistake. I'm sorry for it. You know, I was blinded by my love for Catherine and what he did to Catherine. And I wasn't thinking clearly about, you know, trying to expose him. And it's done and it's over. And we should just move on with our lives. And we should concentrate on healing with the family. And they have this huge argument, to which, of course, Robbie overhears, because there's a giant hole in Cyrus's door, and Robbie bursts in, and Liam is saying all the right things, and Cyrus is saying all the treasonous things. And so Robbie's like, yeah, okay, all right. So Liam, you're good. Cyrus, you're banished. Get out. And Cyrus is like, wait a minute, you can't banish me. And Robbie's going, I'm the king. I can pretty much do whatever I want. So out. The small things that you own will be forwarded to you.
But get out.
Get out.
Not just out of the palace, out of the country.
Yeah, he's officially banned from England, banned from the palace. And Cyrus had a great line where he's like, can I at least pack?
Right.
And he gets noped.
Nope.
And so we fast forward to Cyrus arriving at the Venezuelan embassy in London, going, I'm a political refugee. I need refuge. And he has in his box among other things, a champagne bottle, a bong, and I think there was a dildo in there too.
Well, you know.
It is Cyrus.
It is Cyrus.
He took the essentials.
Yep.
And Well, that ties into Helena, because at the end of the episode, Helena is sitting there. She's stressed. She's tired. Her son doesn't need her anymore. He became one of the most powerful world leaders. And she's also stressed about Liam, who had pointed a gun at both of them, and she doesn't know what to do. And so Rachel's like, you know what? Let's go have some fun. And Helena's like, I can't. I have to maintain decorum and all this other queenly crap. And Rachel's like, yeah, no, not where we're going. And so they basically proceed to go to a night/sex club in London where everybody has to wear a mask. And so this very handsome and familiar looking gentleman in a mask starts buying them drinks. Who could this gentleman be? I don't know, but by God, Helena takes him home, like you do. So, and then we cut to the morning scene and we see Helena's reaction to who is in bed with her, and whatever it is, it ain't good. So we'll have to see what goes on there next episode, I bet.
I think we will.
But the cliffhanger, the piece de resistance of all of this, which we all kind of already knew, but this was the confirmation, and that is Mr. Hill comes back with the ballistics report from Jasper's shooting, and it's revealed the bullet was never meant for the king. It was always meant to hit Jasper, which means potentially somebody wants Jasper dead.
But who? Who?
Right? Who could possibly want Jasper dead?
I think there's a list.
I think there's a list of people, and I'm pretty sure Robbie's at the top of it.
Pretty sure.
And if anybody could get that done,
the man with all the
king.
The man with all the power.
The man with all the power could get it done. So just as a recap, Robbie has made his play for power and won. He is trying to get engaged to Willow. So he's almost won that. And the rest of his family has been well distracted and very well managed.
Yep.
And Cyrus is at the Venezuelan embassy.
Pretty much, yeah, that sums it up.
So things are progressing, and we're halfway through. No!
But I'm so digging this show.
Oh my god, this season is so good so far. I like that they've taken it to a more serious tone. Like, it's nice that they have the lighter moments with it, but the whole storyline of all the twists and turns so far, and all the intrigue and the drama, it's just right, and I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. Max Brown is kind of doing it for me. He's making this season so far.
And again, go back to rockradioshow.com and listen to our interview in episode 2 with Max Brown, aka King Robert.
He's fabulous.
Which means you can follow us on the Twitters, Facebooks, and Instagrams for Rock Radio Show as well.
Yes. So, and you can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back next week with episode 6. You don't want to miss it. Till then, bye!